All right, in this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking with an individual who competes at BKFC 48 on August the 11th, and a very intriguing bout as Jeremy Holloway knuckles up and toes the line against Will Santiago, and great getting to have Will on the show for the first time. How's everything going there, man?
It's going pretty good, man. Thanks for having me, man, and I appreciate it, man. I'm just you know, man, getting ready for this big fight and just staying humble at the same time.
Yeah, that seems to be like a good sort of confluence to exist in, for sure. And it seems like there's a lot of great things happening as of late, too. So kind of good to have that mentality, just with you being like 2-0 as a bare-knuckle boxer and readying to compete again after like a big Knuckle Mania 3 showcase. Like, as much as you are staying humble, like, I feel like this has been a cool ride so far. Like, how has the bare-knuckle experience been so far?
It's been great, to be honest with you. I tell this all the time. I grew up doing this, so it makes me feel, you know, I feel like I'm in my element. And the more I do it, the more I get comfortable at it. So it's been fun though. It's been fun. I can't complain. Again, I feel like I'm in my element. I feel like this is something that I was, you know, that I've been doing my whole life. It was just, you know, my first two fights were just, you know, it was a wow for me getting back to it, but now that I'm back to it, it's a little, you know, it's different, and I'm getting more comfortable, and now I'm going to be able to do things in there that you're not going to really see many people do, if not myself.
So there was a lot of street fighting in the early upbringing, I guess, right?
Yes. Because you got to remember, I'm not saying that I'm an old guy, but I come from an era where, you know, if there was an issue, we'll go knuckle up, you know what I'm saying? And then after that, we'll shake hands, and then one go their way, and we go, you know, and, you know, vice versa. And that's where it stayed at. So that's the era that I come from, and it's just always been that way growing up. It just apparently with us, it was just a lot of it because, you know, we were knuckleheads, had a rough start growing up, and, you know, that was the norm for us growing up. You know, fast forward to, you know, now that I'm an older person and more wiser and whatnot, and I'm a changed man. You know, back with this bare knuckle, I feel like I'm at home because I can shut it off. I can go to it and I can shut it off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get what you're laying down. I guess I'm curious to sort of, I guess, bridge almost a gap a little bit, because you talk about, you know, your upbringing with fighting and how just it almost like inspired that, just the environment and whatnot. And now obviously you're readying for your third BKFC fight, but from a post I was seeing, it seemed like you were crediting Luis Palomino as someone who really got you into bare knuckle. I'm curious for you to expound upon that a bit more. Like, how did, you know, the number one pound for pound get you into the sport?
Oh, that's my brother, man. It all started when, before we both stopped doing MMA, Lewis came out here and he was training. I think he lived out here for about a year. And out of that whole year, you know, me and Lewis got pretty close and pretty tight. And then there was a time when he ended up going back home that you know, he was like, yo, I'm going to retire. You know, I can't do this no more, this MMA stuff, you know. And there was nothing that I could do. There was nothing that I could do to convince him. And I was still at that point doing MMA myself. And I think I was just getting ready to go on the contender at the time. So, you know, I was trying to encourage him, but I couldn't. And then after, you know, some time went by, I took some time off myself, and I found myself in a pretty dark corner. And throughout the years, we've always stayed in contact, and just, you know, we follow each other on social media, and just through his hard work, you know, and then through his hard work of when he started doing the bare knuckle thing, you know, he was always trying to get me to do it, and then he just do it. And by his, you know, hard work and dedication, just by him just acting, it wasn't like we were talking every day, but just from him being, you know, a person, you know, that I look up to. And at one point, I couldn't get him to, you know, I couldn't change his mind about retiring. I found myself in a dark place when just recently, you know, my mother passed away, and it was like around that time where, you know, where his bare knuckle run started to, you know, take off or whatnot, and it was just always in the back of my mind. And then through his hard work, like I said, of just, you know, picking himself up and just grinding and just, you know, going at it, being determined, that motivated me, you know what I mean? And I was just like, wow, like it took me out of a dark place, and I just wanted to, you know, I was like, you know what, let me give it a shot. And obviously, you know, he's, you know, laid down the, you know, the blueprint as to what needs to be done in Bear Knuckle, and I plan on following that same blueprint.
Well, I mean, my condolences for your loss, man, but good to hear you're, I guess, getting out of that bad place or figuring out how to navigate it a bit more, I guess.
Yeah, man, it was tough. It was tough, and Louis was able to do that for me, you know what I'm saying? And it wasn't something like I was just asking for. It was just something of just him being, because he's older than me, you know, of him just being a big brother and just like, yo, it's going to be all right through action. And that, to me, was because I'm an action guy. I never really talk about what I'm going to do. I'm more of an action. If I say I'm going to do something, just watch me do it first before you say anything. And he laid on the foundation just by action, and I was impressed, and I was, and that's my dog, man. That's my brother, man. And I just, you know, and he's always wanted to get me into it, and finally when I decided to get into it, and it's been smooth so far. I'm not saying that, this is easy, because it's not, but some of us make it look easy.
Yeah, it just seems like you've got like a good sort of collective around you, just talking about a guy like Luis and how he's just looking out for you on like a human level and great mentorship in a certain sense. But in terms of like people you're regularly like honing the skills with technique wise, like it seems like you get in some great work at Jackson Wink MMA. So it seems like you've got like a good sort of support system around you and all.
Well, no, of course. Jackson Wink has taken me, because like there's like three schools in one, right? There's my boxing gym, which is from back home, which is Canal Street Boxing. It's my boxing gym. You not only from my boxing gym from back home, because I'm from Massachusetts. Not only is he a boxing coach to me, but he's more than, you know, he's like a father to me and to a lot of kids that, you know, that he helped raise in the streets when we was growing up. You know what I mean? A lot of us, you know, we had a rough start or whatnot. And my MMA coach, which is his name, which is my school, my MMA school from back home, which is Defensive Edge. So without those two schools, I would never been able to come out here to JW and get the invitement, which, well, because, you know, we, at that time when I came out, it was a point where I had to, you know, we had to, and it's still doing like that, but it was a little bit more stricter in terms of, you know, we had to fill out an inquiry out, and then if it was to get invited, and then we came over, and because of those two schools, I was able to accumulate the skills that I have now, and now it's like 3-1, and I've been able to put all that together, and it's just been great. You guys haven't even seen nothing yet.
Yeah, and I appreciate you fleshing out the, you know, timeline a bit more and just giving that proper credit to the people that imparted those skills to you. And I just really enjoy like this aspect of the conversation, just you like really paying homage to the people that imparted that great advice to you. But it seems like you're also able to inspire as well. Like I was seeing you had a recent post talking about how like a 14-year-old amateur boxer reached out to you, and he was saying he's like a big fan, and I was like DMing you for like a signed photo and stuff like that. So that must have, you know, felt really great, because it seems like you really revere the people that, you know, kind of showed you the proverbial ropes, and now it seems like you're kind of inspiring that next wave also.
Yeah, man. When I saw that, I was shocked that, you know, that tore me up a little bit. I was like, wow, you know, a lot of people are watching, you know. But when I first started this fighting career, it was a dream about, you know, because I've been wanting to be a fighter since I was a kid. That was one of the dreams and stories my mom would tell me when I was a kid, because it runs in my family. You know, my uncle was the first cruiserweight champion to Puerto Rico, and I think it was in 1975, so it runs in the family, you know. And then it's been something that I've always wanted to do. It was just, you know, we had a rough start, and we got sight of that. And then when I changed my life and I got back into it, it's just been nothing about giving back and trying to be an inspiration to myself first. But now that I'm realizing that my dream is not just about me, it's a lot bigger than that, then I just got to play the role in terms of, you know, what I have to do to go forward in life. Because I'm a man of God as well. I don't know if you know that, but it's just about inspiring and helping and going forward, because I kind of feel like some of this generation is lost. These younger generations are kind of lost now in today's day. So if anything that I can do through my fighting or through my platform to help inspire or help someone get up or from anything, like I was inspired by Luis Palomino, so be it, because that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, I mean, definitely a great way to put it, man. And obviously a lot to talk about with this upcoming fight, but I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't get into that last fight a bit more. I kind of referenced it earlier, just being that it was, you know, such a huge platform with Knuckle Mania being like their big tentpole event. And I mean, getting that first round stoppage over Noah Cutter in the third Knuckle Mania installment. What were your main takeaways from that one there? That seemed like a big night for you.
Well, I tell this story all the time. I was around Noah pretty much all week. And the guy didn't look that big. He didn't look big at all, but the minute we got in that ring, I was like, geez, this guy's an animal.
Yeah.
I like to give credit to everybody. I never like to disrespect nobody and what they do. I just feel I'm on a different level. And with Noah, I feel I've been able to up through over the years. Not only that, but through my foundation is boxing. And the foundation that we have and that we was taught was to be universal in terms of adjusting to anything, whether it's height, whether it's reach, or whatever it is. So I kind of felt like I had the skills to make those adjustments to get in there and stay in there. A little bit different because this opponent that I'm fighting now has a better footwork than Noah, but I mean the game plan is still the same.
Yeah, and I appreciate the insights there, and just, you know, talking about this next opponent too. There's almost a certain like synchronicity to the fight, almost like, because I referenced earlier you approaching that 1 year anniversary as a bare knuckle boxer, and that being at, you know, BKFC 28, and you got that Jake Young first round victory at a point when, you know, it was like residing in New Mexico, like that was where the card there was based, and now kind of just like returning back there for this one. Like, it seems like there's a certain like synchronicity to the whole thing a bit.
Excuse me, I didn't hear you say that again.
Oh, I was just saying, like, I was talking about the 1 year anniversary a bit ago and your debut being in New Mexico, and you're ready to kind of return there now. There's a certain synchronicity to it a bit.
Oh, yeah. Well, since I've been out here, New Mexico has taken me in like their own, and I can never be so appreciative to that. Like, I get love out here. Like, the people, like, you know, I have a good crowd of coming always. You know, at least about 100 or 200 people that we always have coming. So New Mexico has always been great to me. They show me love. I'm always in interviews. Like, you know, they consider me one of their own. And since I've been here, and the transition from moving from Boston all the way to New Mexico it's culture change. It's just that chance to be able to, you know, to just to blend in and to adjust. If they've made it great for me, and if they've made it so great for me that I'm loved there and I love New Mexico, and that's why I go hard, and I was grateful to go to make my BKFC debut here in New Mexico, because we filled the place out. We've been filling places out. We filled the place out in the event center, and we also filled up the place out in Knuckle Mania. That was a sold out show. There was about 8,000-9,000 people there.
Yeah, the scale of the events just seems to continually keep rising and definitely has proved to be a great market for the company. But I would also think that you being so used to the altitude, just like getting your time in training there, I would think that, you know, how accustomed you are to the high altitude would pay dividends in these fights, like especially if you're fighting people that aren't really like fully acclimated to the higher New Mexico altitude.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, it's tough. It's tough to get acclimated, you know? Ain't nobody gonna get acclimated here. Whoever comes up here, ain't nobody gonna get acclimated here for at least 2 or 3 weeks. And I tell you that because I had that experience when I first came out here. I couldn't get acclimated for like at least a month. At least a month. And I was coming from sea level.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I definitely think that would take a bit for sure. But, I mean, just such an interesting fight here coming up. I'm curious to get your thoughts on just the opponent, because he does have, you know, certain tape to draw off of if you're inclined to be heavy into the tape study, being that he has like 25 MMA fights across amateur and pro, but also readying to make his bare knuckle debut here. Like, what are your thoughts on your opponent, I guess, resume wise, and I guess what are some of his better stylistic attributes that you may have seen?
Well, I know he moves well. He had some decent footwork and he had some decent combinations. And like I said, I feel like he puts it on. The guy has 1,000 fights. So I mean, if he can't, if he, you know, if he hasn't been able to put it together by then it'll be a problem. But the kid has. You know what I'm saying? I gotta give him that respect. The kid has. So we have a great game plan. We just gotta be real cautious, but we also gotta stay on him because he is the bigger guy and he has the bigger reach. Like we were talking about earlier. You know, but like I said, we have a couple tricks up our sleeves that we plan on showing. We're game for a good fight. I'm not sure how comfortable or how, you know, he's gonna be in there because it's a different experience. It's not gonna be MMA. You know what I mean? It's a street fight. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit different, and some people are able to make good adjustments, and some people are not. And we're gonna find out if he's able to make those adjustments. Because I know I am.
Yeah, just the machinations of this matchup, so interesting, because I mean, both of you with the MMA experience, and from what I can tell, you've got, you know, Muay Thai experience as well. So both of you with the infighting could be intriguing for sure, just the active clinch that BKFC allows for. But it also seems like you're talking a lot about like the boxing specific work as we're kind of chatting here. But then you also mentioned your opponent's longer reach there. So it's just interesting because it's like you guys could have like a very interesting like infighting experience where both of you do, you know, have that experience, but it seems like you're getting in that boxing work where maybe you'd entertain fighting at range a fair bit at certain points too, but maybe that doesn't behoove you because of his reach. It's just, I don't really have a question in all of this. It's just interesting, like all the variables in this fight here.
Yeah, no, like I said, you know, I feel like my coaches have done a great job in terms of studying and us putting the game plan together. You know, the guy's good. You know, it might be his first bare knuckle fight, but the guy, we feel, you know, as we do, that it's going to be an interesting fight. But if we stay focused, and stay to our game plan, which we will, I don't think he's going to know what to do. And it's not talking shit because I just. Like I said, BKFC is a different animal.
Yeah, for sure.
BKFC is a different animal. And we're just going to be ready. I'm excited for this fight. This is a fight that's been, that's been pushing me extra. And I'm excited. I'm excited for it. I'm sure he's excited for it as well, making his BKFC debut. We're aware of his attributes, we're aware of his strengths, and what we plan on doing is just, you know, using those against him.
Yeah, and as much as there's a lot of intrigue around what you're doing individually, it would seem like a potential good night for, you know, the New Mexico group out there a bit. Like, I saw you shouting out John Dodson a few weeks ago, and then he was kind of commenting, talking about how, like, you're all going to party once he becomes champ, and obviously he's readying for his inaugural flyweight title fight and all that against J.R. Ridge.
Yeah, that's another thing too. Talking about that, John is one of our legends of New Mexico. So just the fact that he's fighting for a title, and that, you know, and that everybody's gonna be out and we're gonna be out there, be on the same card as him, it's a blessing. It's an honor. You don't think we're all gonna want to go to put up, win, lose, or draw? Everybody's gonna go there and fucking fight their asses off. Period. Just out of respect and out of honor for John Dodson.
Yeah, I mean, such a tremendously accomplished guy and just cool what he's doing. I mean, concurrently, like, he's killing it in BKFC, but he's making waves in, like, Ryzen as well, and such a cool MMA rule set. So, yeah, I mean, well said, definitely one of the legends out of the area. And, I mean, his brother Eric Dodson on the card just seems like a great night all around, a lot of good representation.
Yeah, man, some great fights. You know, we got Josh Moreno, we got, you know, Donald Sanchez, you know, my man Kyle. It's going to be, you know, we have there's a good group of guys from New Mexico, you know, and, it's going to be a lot of great fights, you know, even the fights on the undercard. You got Derek Perez, you know, he's an animal, he's a good friend of mine, stuff like that, young kid. The last time at Knucklemania, he fought him, and he won him and his opponent. Like, they went toe to toe. He's back on the card. So it's going to be a great night, man. Expect fireworks from, I believe, from the prelims to the main card and into the main event.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we're talking about Dodson readying to fight for a title there. Like, I'm curious, like, what you see your arc within the middleweight division. Like, I mean, it seems like all fighters do have that broader idea of, like, wanting to, you know, capture that championship eventually. Like, where do you see yourself in, I guess, the middleweight hierarchy presently? Like, do you think, like, a statement win here could really kind of get you in that conversation for, like, fighting a ranked opponent? Or, I guess, how are you looking at your place within the hierarchy at middleweight?
Yeah, well, after this fight, I'm being told some things that, you know, we're going to sit down and we're going to talk. So, you know, it just, I take it a step at a time, a fight at a time. You know, I got Mr. Holloway in front of me right now. And then once we get this, once we get past this fight and we sit down and talk, I'm pretty sure we know what we want. Which we call it. Obviously, we want to, you know, either go for a ranked opponent or go for a title shot, whatever. I honestly believe I don't know his name, but I think the guy that's the champ for this division, I think that'll be an interesting fight between them. He was saying some things not long ago, talking about how everybody's trash, you know, what's up, or whatnot. But I would like that fight.
Oh, so there's a bit of a backstory for a potential Dave Mundell fight. He was sort of bantering a bit about the division, like maybe didn't think they were up to his level. Was that kind of what you were alluding to there?
Yeah. Because that's like I said, I'm a real busy guy. Personally, I just started a business. I'm hoping this. I can't really see too much, but I saw that, and the guy's good. But I don't think that, you know, the way he was talking. Yeah, he might be champ now and stuff like that, but. I mean, all respect to Mike Richmond. He might have beat Mike Richmond that day, but I personally don't think that he's better than Mike Richmond.
Yeah, very interesting. And just like I said, an interesting time in the division, just like a guy like Mike Perry being within the rankings, and he's obviously such a huge star for the company, and just seems like there's a great wealth of talent, like former champion Francesco Ricci still in the mix there. So yeah, no, I appreciate your insights into just the middleweight division, but I guess just being mindful of your time, like I was kind of saying before, like one of the things I did want to like touch on here, because I think it's remarkable, like how many, you know, first round finishes you have, just 11 first round stoppages among your 11 wins in MMA and bare knuckle. Are we seeing that trend continuing here on August the 11th there? I mean, there's a bit of synchronicity there, even with the 11 first round finishes and it being on the 11th, but do you see you notching number 12 in terms of the first round finishes at BKFC 48?
Yeah, we're confident we're going to get a finish. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the track record very much speaks for itself, but I mean, like I said before, I very much appreciate you coming on and giving great insights, but do want to be considerate of your schedule, Will. So just in saying that, is there maybe any final parting thought you'd like to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
I just want to say thanks for having me. I appreciate you. Anytime, you got my number now. Anytime, feel free if you want to answer some questions or even after a fight, anything like that. Again, thank you for having me on. God bless you. And, you know, to everybody, you know, I want to shout out my schools, you know, the Edge, you know, Canal Street, JW, and just everybody out here in New Mexico, man. We're about to get it in. And just go from there. Team Albuquerque is pretty strong. And, you know, everybody's pumped up to John. So it's going to be a great night. And just shout out everybody, man. I love y'all. Stay focused. Stay blessed. And family first, man.
Yeah, some great shout-outs and very much a mutual thing. Definitely enjoyed, you know, talking to you as well. But very excited for BKFC 48 and this Jeremy Holloway fight on August the 11th. But until then and all that goes down, man, you have a good rest of your day. And, yeah, thank you for the time.
You too, brother, man. Anytime, brother. You got that, all right? Anytime. You got it.